I know, I guess I say this all the time, I know it's familiar scripture. It's over 1 Kings in the 19th chapter. That I want to start reading a little bit. And like I say, I know all these things are familiar, and I said this last Sunday, I think a lot of times people try to get away from some of the familiar scriptures and they don't mind the Lord enough and just listen and preach what God's been preaching for years. These things don't change. I said it last week, He's the same God today and tomorrow, and He'll be the same God forevermore. The same scripture is good for our instruction. The same scripture is good for our encouragements. But it just seemed like the Lord's been a burden in our heart here just a little bit on some things, and I know they're familiar, and we've probably touched on them before, but in this 19th chapter, let me find where I want to start reading. I think I'll start in the 9th verse, and I think we're all familiar with where we're at right here in this. Elijah already stood over there and before the prophets of Baal and proved who God was before man, or God proved Himself before man who He was, and Elijah came down to a point there to where after he had killed all them prophets of Baal, that Jezebel, she'd sent out word that she was going to have Elijah slain, and at this point he had left and was gone away and trying to hide himself, but it says there in that 9th verse, it said, and he came thither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I alone only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimelech shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have me 7,000 in Israel, all the knee which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And I think I'll stop right there for just a little bit. I've had this scripture on my heart, seemingly thinking a little bit on some things there, and And we may turn over in Matthew and read just a little bit here just in a minute. But I got to thinking about that point in Elijah's life right there, and thinking about the fear that was on him, and he seen the turmoil that was all around him. Jezebel's threats was going out against him, and I don't know, it seemed like the Lord kept bringing me back to where we're everyone at today in our lives, Paul. As all these threats was going out against Elijah, and the fear, no doubt, to come on his life, and it looked like everything was falling to pieces all around him. It looked like everything was just going against him, I guess you'd say. As he come through that point in his life, and he went and he tried to get away, and he tried to hide himself, and he went, and I thought about how that he said that he came to this cave up here. And how that when he got to that cave right there, it said the Lord passed by. And you know what? A lot of times when we get to trying to run from God, they ain't no worse to go with it. And when we're trying to hide from the world, they ain't no worse to go, Christian. Elijah wasn't so much at this point really trying to run from God, but he was trying to get away from what God had him to do. He was trying to go another way that God hadn't sent him on. Where God had placed Elijah was to stand firm in what he had him established to do. To prophesy unto these people and to tell them, just like he did over there when he called down fire out of heaven. God hadn't changed the purpose of Elijah the whole time he had been there. But Elijah got scared and tried to go hide. You know what we'll do a lot of times, Judy, in this life? We'll get scared and we start trying to hide, and we back up on where God's trying to get us to. I'm promising you here today, if you'll stay with where God is sending you and where God's trying to establish you, that we're on a good path. Elijah tried to run and hide. And as he was over in that cave, I thought about that. As all the different things come through, as the wind blowed, you think about that, it rent the rocks over there in that day. It broke the rocks up. Elijah felt that, didn't he? Can't you just imagine how scary that is? As the earthquake come through there, can't you just imagine how it shook Elijah? All of them things come by, Daniel, and the fire came. Can't you just imagine the heat he felt off of that? Now I want you to put yourself in Elijah's place. He was trying to get away from Jezebel over there, and then here all these other things comes along, and he gets to feeling all these other things shaking his life, and then everything happens at once over there. But them things that was going on, the Lord wasn't in them. Said the Lord passed by, but he wasn't in them things. There's a still small voice. We see all these terrible things going on around us. And you know what they are, David? They're a distraction. It's something that might get you a little shook. Might just shake your life up just a little bit. That little still small voice. That little still small voice that Christian was telling us about while he was over there. That little voice that went to speak in Isaac Woody the other day. Why, it wasn't nothing shaking them at that time as far as in this world. There's something down on the inside got to shake them. And what was it? It was that still small voice. I'm going to tell you what, it ain't in the wind, it ain't in the fire, it ain't in the earthquakes going on around us. It ain't in the things that are shaking this world. But I'm going to tell you where the fire's at, and I'm going to tell you where God's at. It's in that still small voice down in the heart of a child of God. We're going to get scared and try to run sometimes. We're going to want to give up. We're going to want to quit. And hang with me just a little bit. I preach this scripture at Charlie Freeman's funeral. I never forget it. Every time I read it, I go back to that funeral that day. Elijah lost sight of something.
And a lot of us today in the churches, we're losing sight of a few things. Elijah got to worry about Jezebel. Elijah got to worry, I'm the only one. Elijah got to think about what Elijah was going through today. What he is going to face. And he forgot that God had a purpose in his life. Whether he was walking alone, whether there was another one standing beside him or not, he had God on his side.
I'm going to tell you something, church.
It don't matter if you turned your back on me. I don't believe you would. It don't matter if everybody in here gave up and went to the house and forgot about God, Jimmy. You want to know something? God ain't never going to leave me. Julian, if every one of us left you here by yourself, God ain't going to.
Elijah was worried
that he was by himself and he forgot who sent him on his journey. And he forgot the purpose of his journey, Melissa. The Lord went to tell me, every time he asked me, Bobby, what did he say? What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah gave the same answer. The Lord asked again, what are you doing here? We need to get searching our lives, Aiden, and see where we're at with God. And then say, what are we doing there? There was something that needed to take place in Elijah's life. He said, you get on down the road. And he said, you anoint Haziel. You anoint Jehu. You get down there and you anoint Elisha to be in your room, in your stead. Elisha's coming on behind you. Elisha's going to carry your mantle. Elisha's going to preach this same gospel that I've blessed your life with. And that's a man that was going to ask for a double portion of what Elijah had. And I promise you this, he probably faced some of the hardest things he'd ever faced in his life too. But he stayed firm with where God placed him.
There was some things in front of Elijah that God still had for him to do before he took him out of here.
See, some of us, we get to a point down at the house of God, Bobby, and we think we've done all we can do, and we just sit down and give up. God still got a purpose for every one of us. There's some Haziels needs anointing. There's some Jehus needs anointing. You go over and read about them men over there too. You read just a little bit about Jehu.
God's anointing got on his life.
Son, he went traveling down through our land. And he went to overcoming some things that come against God's people. And you know where he ended up? That very old Jezebel. Hey, that was threatening the life of the man of God over there, that had him running scared. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. She looked out her window one day. She saw Jehu headed her way. Hey, there's a world out here screaming its threats against the church. Hey, they're trying their best to get us scared. They don't want you in the church of the living God no more. They don't want us teaching our children this blessed old book no more. Trying our best to get us scared and running for the hills. Well, I'd let it get to him now for a little bit. But I'm going to tell you what, the Lord won't let you stay there. Hey, he sent his word down. That still small voice brought Elijah out of where he was.
Set him back on the path of where he needed to be.
This world's just screaming out threats. Old Jehu went right in her way one day. I'm going to tell you what, the Lord's got something headed for this old world too. You read that, Jehu went riding on it. He's heading down through there. They seen him coming over Jezebel. It said she went and she put her stuff on her face. She dressed her. You know what she was? She's like, ain't nobody going to scare me. This old world and the very devil it serves thinks it's got something against God it can use. Hey, going to stand up blatantly. She painted her ugly face, trying to make herself look like what she thought looked pretty. Hey, and it was filth in the sight of God. Our world today is painting itself up right in the face of God, blatantly disobeying what God says is right, what God says is holy, right in the face of God.
Old Jezebel marched herself up there, and she was going to stand right in the front face of Jehu.
I want you to understand how important it was that Elijah kept his course. It was his anointing that needed to go upon that man and the enemies that was coming against God. As old Jezebel marched herself up there, old Jehu said, "Who is on the Lord's side?"
Said there's two or three eunuchs there. They stepped up there and they pitched the old Jezebel out on her head right out of the window.
She fell there in the street. If you read on the back, the dogs ate her and left nothing, I think, but her skull, palms of her hands and her feet, I believe is what it was.
Ate her up.
She became as a dog in that country.
This world is going down, Nathan. It's going down.
And we need not to get scared. Touchdown, none. You won't survive this, you're staying with God. There's too many today back and up giving up.
We need to get prayed up.
I told you about reading over there. It makes you a little bit. You can turn over and read if you want to. I got thinking as I was studying this and as I was reading on it.
Daniel, I got to thinking about when
Elijah was in that cave. All them other things didn't bring him out. Until that still small voice spoke. And it brought him out. He wrapped his face in his mantle. He come out when the Lord said, "Come." I got to bring my finger out there. As the Lord had stayed behind, they took out in their ship over Kim. They took out, they got out in the midst of the sea, and there's a storm went to brewing. It got stirred up. They were scared. Church, you're going to get scared in the storm sometimes. They looked out, and they seen one walking on the water. And in the midst of that storm, I mentioned it last night at the youth thing there, about getting our eyes off the world, getting our eyes on God. In the midst of the boat being rocked, the storm was raging. Peter laid his eyes on the one walking on it. It was above everything else going on around him, sis. And in the midst of all that trouble, Peter said, "Lord, bid me to come out there. Bid me to be with you." And I thought about that. You just bear with me. I thought about that in Elijah's life. He'd been hiding about down by the brook. He'd been sustained like we preached the other day by that little widow woman. And this whole time he'd been keeping his distance from Ahab and from Jezebel. There come a time when the Lord said, "You come right in the middle of it. You following me?" Ahab was still hated Elijah. Jezebel still served Baal. The wickedness was going on in that day. There come a time there, Gina, when the Lord said, "Just go right in the middle of it." And I thought about Peter. As the storm was going on, right there at that moment, was a strong one in his life. And when the storm was raging, Peter looked out and said, "Lord, let me come out there with you." Same place, if you'll have it, like Elijah was, when the Lord let him go right in the midst there with Ahab and Jezebel. He had the fire of God on him enough to call fire down out of heaven. Peter had enough of the power of God on his life to walk on top of the storm for a little while, didn't he? Yes. Him and Elijah both, right there. You see that? They both had the power of God. And what did the Lord tell them over there, Christians? When Peter asked that, what did he say? He said, "Come." That, you find that in that chapter right there, and you'll find one little stretch of red letters right there, and it says, "Come." Sometimes we get our eye off the storm. You know what we're willing to do, Tommy? Step out there. We get stepped out there, Christian. You said last year, God saved you. We got you baptized down here at the church. And he said how on fire he was for the Lord. And you know what happens in our life? Not just yours, brother, but what happens in all our lives? What happened to Elijah after he'd been walking with God for a little while over there and saw the power of God slain the prophets of Baal, saw fire fall from heaven? What happened to Peter when he stepped off, when he asked the Lord, "Hey, Lord, let me come out there for a little while. Hey, we can walk on top of the storm. We can testify the church house down. Hey, we felt so strong with God. But there'll come a time that you'll take your eyes off for just a little while."
Elijah got his eyes off of where God had sent him and the things that God had purposed for him in his life. Peter got his eyes off of the one he was walking to for just a little while. And Elijah started trying to hide. He started trying to get away. And he found himself being all alone and dying. Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. What did he start doing? He started sinking in the midst of what he had been walking on. Him, it takes a split second in our life to get our eyes off of what God's got our purpose for. To where God is walking to, it takes a split second. And you know what? You're getting swallowed up by the storm you hadn't been on top of. The things of this world will start consuming you. You said you was there for a decade. Mark, you testified you've been there. And I guarantee I'd go through every life in here. We've ever one been there. Took our eyes, Jay, off the Lord for just a little while. The next thing you know, we're getting swallowed up in the world. We're getting swallowed up by what the Lord has brought us up and let us walk above. And the next thing you know, it's all over us and it's a-killing us.
Where's when a man gets in that shape, what can he do? Just listen to that still small voice. And when it says come, what brought you out of that aisle back? That pew back there, lady. The Lord said, come, didn't he? That young man hit the corner of that aisle of the road there and went to pray. When the Lord says, come, just listen to him.
Peter reached out. Lord, I'm sinking. And did the Lord say, well, you got yourself down there?
No. When he saw the sincerity on his life, he reached down to see us, and he got a hold of him, and he brought him back up. We're going to fail. We're going to come short sometimes. When you see yourself sinking,
just cry out to him.
You know what he'll do, Christian? He'll reach down and he'll pick you back up.
He will.
He'll get you above that storm. You know what he took Peter right back on the boat and calmed the whole waters. Lord will put you right back in the church and he'll calm the storms all around you. One more time. It's a fearful place when you're feeling the earthquakes. It's a fearful time when the winds are breaking the rocks around you. But you know what Elijah did? He was smart. He stayed in the cave until he heard that still small voice.
There's a voice that speaks down on the inside of us, Alicia.
You said it this morning, Christian. He's right down in there. And I thought it was a study. Is he coming by, Carl? You know what? He'll be speaking to your heart. We don't want to hear that. But he'll be speaking to your heart. Individually, he comes by. Into each one of us is in our cave. Some of us is going through the fire. Some of us going through the earthquake. Some of us the winds is a breaking the rocks. Each one of us may be in a different place in our life. But I want you to understand that God's not in those. He's not in all them troubles.
Just see a small voice. He'll bring you out.
He'll establish you in your life where you've got peace and a joy.
He set Peter's feet back on the boat.
Church, I want you to understand something. Have God's blessing down the house of God. Not just here, in other churches. Right now, we're seeing the fire come from heaven, Judy. Right now, we're walking on top of the waters. Don't take your eyes off the Word that you've been looking at. Don't let this world get your eyes pulled from one side to the other. Don't let the devil get to drawing you any way. Anything that takes your eyes off of God, leave it alone, baby. You want to know what's going to happen? You're going to start sinking. You're going to start falling. We read out of 1 Corinthians with these youngins this morning over there. Going through all the different things there. And right down to the last verse is where I truly wanted to get with them. There's a purpose in what Paul was preaching unto them people. That every man could be saved. Elijah lost track of why God had him on the path he had him on. Because they was still Hazael out there. They was still Jehu out there. And there was still Elisha. And the Lord let him know, don't you get to thinking you're the only one. I got 7,000. It ain't bound to me. You feel like God's done with you and you're ready to give up? I want you to understand, there's still some out here that needs the Lord's touch.
And God had Elijah there
to do that, Brian. You got some family we've been praying for, son. You know what? We ain't gonna quit. You stay where God wants you. You stay in that book right there. And the Lord might send you by another way to do a little anointing. Touch their life with the Spirit that's on you. That's what he had for Elijah. Don't lose track, dude. Don't get our eyes any other way. Because that's what the devil wants us to do. We get sidetracked. And next thing you know, Christian, our children has grown up in the world. And you know what's influenced them more than anything? The world. You keep that little young right there on that pew, sis. It works, church. The devil's going to try his best to sidetrack us. Keep your eyes on Jesus. I've said it for a long time. We do like any old girl in Pentecost. And we stay in one mind, one accord, seeking the will of God. Those 3,000 saved in one name right there.
Preacher, them days is gone. I've already quoted it.
He's the same God today, yesterday, and forevermore. He ain't changed.
You know what he did when he got back on that boat? He scolded them for not having enough faith.
Peter, you was walking on it until you lost your faith. I ain't picking on Peter. I ain't never walking on water, have you? But I'm going to tell you what, I've had God keep me above my storms. I've had God keep me out of Jezebel's hand before. And then I've let myself get the word. And I've let myself get the doubt. And I've let my faith get weak.
And you know where I found myself?
Wadded up in a pile of tears, scared like a little old kid. Crying out, Lord, help me. Lord, I'm drowning. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't tell them what we're going to see, Darrell. Don't tell them what's coming. But you understand, there's going to be some storms that's going to blow in with these things.
But God's people
can rise above that if we keep our eyes on Him.
Because there's still some things down the road for us to see take place.
I told you here a while back when we was baptizing, I hope we kept the grass worn out down there. when she gets a few weeks not being able to baptize.
I'm about ready to get back over.
I'm ready to see this thing come up by these altars. The salvation of their life.
And finding that same place I've got to find my comfort.
I don't forget Trevor's prayer up here with Aiden. Had never leave me. Boy hadn't been saved but just a month himself. And he piled up right beside Aiden and he starts praying. Lord, let him feel what I feel. Lord, let him have what I have. Lord, give him what you give me. We was over here praying with Emma. And I could hear Trevor over there praying with Aiden. And he never left me. That ought to be our prayer. Lord, let this have what you give me. Lord, let that feel what you let me feel. I want to see the joy of God's salvation on some more people. Coming up out of the midst of this, I'm tired of watching people drown in the storms.
I'm tired of watching people run from the house of God.
And the blessings of God. Let's dig in here, church. God's a moving in a great way. Did you see that fellowship building full of young people and other churches last night? You want to know what the devil wants to destroy? That right there. And don't you think he ain't going to try. I'm not bragging in something we done. That's the word of God up there last night. To see all them different churches and all them different young people standing right there in the front of that singing Amazing Grace. Why do you think, as we preached the other week, why do you think old Pharaoh sent out and said, you kill all them men children? Why do you think when Herod got word that Jesus was going to be born over there, he sent out a decree to kill all them youngs? You want to know what a lot of this old junk doctrine and a lot of this old divisions that's coming between a lot of the people of God's are doing? It's killing these. Do you know what the Lord kept asking Elijah? What are you doing here? I ain't going to get stuck there. That's just a thing for me to do. I may die tonight. But I won't preach this gospel unto a lost and dying generation until I draw my last breath. I won't give up. It's worth it. I keep regretting you on the front pew. This sweet little thing here back in Bible school coming to attend with this church right here.
And I think about your little face a lot more than you realize.
Your kids started coming back during Bible school. These young kids about a year ago with you. And then they've been trying his best to destroy what God's been doing because he's trying to kill these enemies. It's time the church gets to fight for it. It's time the people of God just to realize there's more at stake than us. And thinking we're the only ones. Thinking that they ain't, that you've got one that's a sitting with you, and you got one on the way, Kim, Ethan.
We better get to fighting for them.
I said, Elijah, what are you doing here? Get down there to Haziel. Get down there to Jehu. Get down there to Elisha. There's some lives we need to be touching now. And the devil's going to try his best to send a storm in front of you to get your eyes off where it needs to be. You keep them on with Jesus. We'll see Noah. We'll see Nancy. Keep that vision, David. You know, don't lose it. Keep that vision for that big old boy of yours. See David, Judy, and Grand Youngs. Don't lose sight of them and friends at school. Jay, don't quit praying. And grandparents, Aiden, don't quit praying for them. Don't let the devil sidetrack you right on the storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Don't let them say these miles go too far, Arlene. Don't let them say there's no chance. Tell them he's a liar. Don't let somebody tell you the church ain't got nothing to do with this. Anybody that'll preach that's trying to destroy what God is using. They try to kill the mother to destroy the children, and they don't even know it sometimes. I don't want to see these children go to hell. Duck preached it last night over there. There came a time in Moses' life when he had to choose. Either he's going to live in Pharaoh's house, or he was going to suffer with the children of God. There came a time in Joshua's life when he said he would choose this day who you're going to serve. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It's about time, church. You know what Elijah told them over there, don't you? When he's preaching against the prophets of Baal, know where the children live from. He said, why halt ye between two opinions? Let me tell you something. You might have two opinions, but there's only one choice. And his name's Jesus. You can choose the world, but I'm going to tell you what, the devil may tell you it's an option, but it's not a good one. And it's time that the church chose God and stayed with God. And quit running and hiding from Jezebel. There's a lot of smarter people than me in this world. You can stand me on stage with them in some kind of theological debate, and that as far as knowledge went, they'd chew me up and spit me out. You want me to take something? Won't change where I'm standing. Why? Because them rocks and that wind and that fire, I don't listen to them. I listen to the still, small voice. The same one that called me out and saved my soul, and the same one that's led me down the path that I'm at, the same one that called me to preach, the same one that sent me to this church, the same one that stood me this morning in that gospel. I ain't gonna follow another man's gospel. I'm gonna follow. That's just a small voice in the Spirit of God that leads it. That's the only thing we'll save our children, mama. It's the only thing we'll keep our churches intact. I'm about done. I like to back up, and I like the Bible says to stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. And I like to do this every now and then here, because I came to pastor this church a little over 10 years ago. And I heard a whole lot about Harold Cable. I heard a whole lot about a man that loved this church. A man that preached in here when there may not have been four or five people sometimes. A man that preached in here and had a vision of seeing young people in this church. What if he let Jezebel scare you? What if you looked at the waves and the winds and just quit and sunk in and died? But he stayed true until he brought his last breath. Did you see that youth choir this morning? Did you see these pews this morning? That's because a man realized there's still some more anointing than he had to do before he left here. Me and you've got the same flower going in our life. I've said it before, we're reaping the benefits of those that went before us. I'm nothing great. My God is. And I'm thankful that He set some things in order. And we're getting to see the promises fulfilled. The things take place. These little old youngins that your mamas is holding them this morning. I've said it before, some of these young men, some of you young ladies, you may be the key the morning, the night, whatever time of day it is that young man gets saved. There's still something for you to do in your life. I
thank the Lord that He's still working.
We don't want to stay where we're at. Get back on the path where God's placed you.
And stay there. And keep trusting. That's what the Lord gave me this morning.